Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He comes out to wrestle and he's like, that's the fucking guy we just met.
What three wrestling matches would you watch if you were stranded on a desert island? This is what I'm asking wrestling's best. In the ring, around the ring, behind the scenes, or behind a microphone. I'm Tom Campbell. Thank you for joining me on Cultaholic Island for another episode of Desert Island Graps.
Why is it that every time you're getting ready to take off on an airplane and the captain got on over the loudspeaker, you always heard the same exact thing? You always hear, thank you for choosing us. We know you have a lot of choices in the airline community and they all fucking suck, so thank you. We got a great crew on board for you this evening. Barbara's here. Oh, you gonna love you some Barbara. We even got pretty good weather conditions. So I'm gonna do my best to get us in a few minutes early so that we can just sit on the runway for another half an hour. So just sit back and relax. Enjoy yourself. Oh, but hold up. If you don't turn off your phone, oh, I swear to God. On the lives of Barbara's beautiful children, this plane will fall from the sky. But now they're just like, oh, never mind.
Ron Funches, how are you doing?
Doing very well.
Good.
Congratulations on your Money in the Bank win.
Oh, thank you very much. That old thing. I'm waiting for the golden opportunity after a cage match just to jump in.
Well, I think it's smart that you keep it so close so that you don't, you know, no one can get it. You never know when Brock Lesnar is around.
Exactly. You keep your friends close, your enemies closer, and your Money in the Bank briefcase even closer than that, I think.
Absolutely.
I was expecting a crown, like you've been taking Zoom lessons from King Malcolm. I was expecting... I love the story of how when he does lessons at school, he asks people to refer to him as King Malcolm. Like that's super cool. The relationship you guys have inspires a lot of people.
Well, I rather hear that. I just love talking about him because, you know, he inspires me and changed my life so much and taught me so many things about patience and so many other things. And so when I can share that with other people, especially when I think any other time I've seen like showcases of autism, it's usually as like this big downer that you got to overcome. And I like showcasing that, like, we just are regular people and my son and I have a beautiful relationship and nothing, you know, stops that.
It's amazing. It led to you getting your name on shoes as well.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. With a collaboration with Puma and Foot Locker and putting out some shoes for Autism Acceptance Month. It was really fun for me to have shoes with my name on them as a person who is not athletic in any capacity. I mean, I guess I could lift weights pretty well, but my overall coordination is not great. And so to have my name on some sports shoes because of my son makes a lot of sense to me and makes me very happy. And again, that helped me spotlight like a place like the Flutie Foundation that helps find a placement and jobs for people with autism as they transition from child to adulthood. And I love supporting stuff like that.
You talk about how you're not sporty. I know one of the sports that you love and the whole reason why you're here today, Ron, is you're a massive wrestling fan. And we are going to celebrate that, and we're going to do so by sending you onto a desert island. And with you, you will have a DVD featuring three wrestling matches that you're happy to watch whilst you are there. So, what would you like your first match to be, Ron?
Oh, I'd like my first match to be Kurt Angle versus Shane McMahon at King of the Ring, where he just destroys Shane McMahon for a good 20-plus minutes, breaks his tailbone, I believe, at some point. I just think most hard-hitting, technical, and then gets into this, like, especially at that time in WWE, gets to this level of violence that you hadn't seen in WWE at that point. And so I don't know at any point. And it's just a match that to me just so two guys are willing to do anything. That as much crap as I think as we give Shane McMahon now, it's fun, even as he throws himself off of cages, it's crazy how willing he is to put himself in harm's way with someone as like deadly as Kurt Angle. You
know? These men in a very dangerous, precarious situation and position here, being on the exposed concrete floor right in front of the King of the Ring set. Oh, oh, good God almighty, Shane McMahon thrown with a suplex upside down, and then I think Shane's head just bounced right off the concrete floor. Shane McMahon is down, and again, this match cannot be won, but in the ring, you got to believe it's balls count anywhere. Angle might be able to take it right here.
Oh, I think Kurt Angle now just needs to bring Shane back to the ring and beat him.
Oh, not again. Oh, my God. Right through that glass.
We've heard the stories about that match and how Kurt was trying to suplex Shane McMahon through the plexiglass. And a couple of attempts and it wasn't happening, but they were adamant. No, this is going to happen. We're gonna somehow make this happen. And Shane McMahon and the worst part was they did it. They got through, and then they're right. We're going to go back the other way now. It's like the same people who built that glass built the other glass. So it was just a war, wasn't it?
Gave him that German, and he just plopped against the wall and slid down like when you throw a pickle at a restaurant window. He just slid down, leaving a trail of blood. And I was like, this is an amazing match.
Where were you when you watched that?
I don't know how old that long ago that was now, but either in high school or college or just a young stoner hanging around watching it live on King of the Ring. I will just remember watching it. I don't think I've missed a pay-per-view in a long time. Now as an adult, a little more, but I was watching that live at my house, probably a little stoned, very excited. I mean, I'm probably watching it with my friend, Mike Mulliken, who I went to school with. And we worked at a cannery together as one of my first jobs, working at places where they, you know, can vegetables, which is not a fun job at all. One of my jobs is picking out the ferrets and rodents and snakes out of the vegetables. And I was like, well, some of these are going to get by.
What if somebody really wanted a ferret in their vegetable?
Well, they got one.
$5 backhander. Put a ferret in there for us, Ron.
The whole point I brought that up is that I remember we worked at that job. We both hated it so much. And one day we had to be there. We had to be there at like 10:30 at night and work until the morning. And we were watching an episode of Monday Night Raw, and it was really good. And so we were like, we both just kind of looked at each other at the same time, and we were just like, just want to quit this job and watch the rest of Raw. And I was like, Luckily, we were at an age where we could do that.
So you mid through your shift and you went, should we leave? Did you just walk out of the job and go watch Raw?
We just gave up. We were like, yeah, that's it. We're not going back in. We can keep our smoke break going and keep watching Raw and go home.
What was happening on Raw that night that was the final bit that pushed you over leaving the canned goods business? Was there something happening on Raw that went, you know what, let's screw work, let's go and have a smoke and watch Raw instead? Was there something happening that night?
I can't exactly recall. It's too long ago. But if I were to guess, it would have probably been something Stone Cold and Rock related, or perhaps something where Trish Stratus was involved and was going to be in some type of provocative situation. Either one of the two would have made me quit the job at that time.
How did you become a wrestling fan?
Since an early age, I kind of grew up in Southside Chicago. Chicago, big hotbed of professional wrestling, for as most wrestling fans know. And I just grew up in a house full of ladies, my mom, my sister, my aunt, her daughter, and kind of my respite from that is that my uncle would take me to the Rosemont Horizon in Chicago to go to WWF house shows.
From that first show at the Rosemont, to take us back there, what was one of the first wrestling matches that you remember really, really captured your imagination?
Hulk Hogan earthquake stretcher match. The fact that Hulk Hogan had to put this mean, nasty, natural disaster on his back. And I was like, there's no way he's going to get him on the stretcher and carry it out. He's too big. Well, through the power of Hulkamania. And then later I found out that's just kind of steroids and latent racism. He found the power to do it.
Do you find it difficult to kind of separate a Hulkamaniac as a kid to now, or are they two separate things to you?
They're just separate things, part of my childhood. And you kind of love, there's so many things you learn and grow up and go like, oh, that's not a good person. I shouldn't enjoy their work. I shouldn't enjoy R. Kelly's I Believe I Could Fly. But I didn't know that. He didn't say anything about the peeing and that. So I didn't know. And so to me, that's just kind of it. And that the only part that truly ever bothers me is that there's still never been a true apology, true attrition, because I don't think he understands the power that Hulk Hogan had in the lives of a lot of children, and that includes a lot of children, Black children, you know? And I think that's why it hurt a lot. And I think that's why a lot of people aren't quick to get over it. It's just going like, you know, like you sold us this thing of like, you're looking out for everybody. You're everybody's brother. Everything's doing things the right way. And then you're full of hate. And when they get caught out on it, you can't apologize. And to like, you know, that's in a way that's like Santa Claus dying for you, you know? And that's why I think people have a lot of anger about it and they're still upset about it. At least me personally. He's just kind of been like, oh, that's who you are and that's what you want to do. That's fine. But, you know, he did some work in the community or whatever. But I guess maybe that's what they thought standing next to Titus O'Neil was. I don't know. But I love Titus O'Neil. He's amazing.
Oh, he was great. He's great. He was so good at WrestleMania. Out of interest, and I always like to ask this when people come on who aren't wrestlers themselves, did it ever cross your mind as a path that you might want to go down to become a wrestler?
Of course. I either wanted to be a comedian or a wrestler. And so at one point, yeah, a couple years ago, I went to wrestling school. I went to Santino Brothers Academy for about 3 months, and I learned how to take some bumps and take some rolls, and I learned that I was not a natural at any of that, and that I was out of my depth, and that I should go back to being a fan. So that's what I did. But it took me, but at least I did it. I did it, and I vomited. You know, I did it. I know what it feels like to hit those ropes against your back. I know it.
Was there anything that you learned from those training sessions at Santino Brothers that surprised you about wrestling that you hadn't thought of before?
Really just thought about how much there should be water breaks. you go into a basketball game, football game, whatever, you always see they got the Gatorades, they got their waters, they got everything they need. But in wrestling, that was one of the first things that they would do in the class. It was like, you know, all this cardio. And then they'd be like, no water breaks, because you don't drink water during the match. And I was like, that's stupid.
How am I meant to stay hydrated if I don't get a little break to have a little drink? That's a good, valid point, Ron.
It seems bad for your health. It goes against everything that my wife stands for. She's all about hydration.
He says as he drinks and looks over and takes a nod. So I think Ron had hydration instructions there for those listening on the podcast. Mm-hmm. You described The Rock, who's one of your faves, in the best way I've ever heard him described. When you were on with Kelly Clarkson, you described him as the Beyonce for boys.
Well, just when I take a look back and think about all the things he's done and how the accomplishments he's made. Sure, he's the son of a wrestler, but it wasn't like he's the son of Ric Flair or the son of Dusty Rhodes. He was the son of Rocky Johnson. He was a mid-card, amazing wrestler. Truly great wrestler, but it wasn't going to be like, well, here's the guy who's going to have a job for life. And he climbs himself up to becoming the best, like one of the best talkers and best overall wrestler. To me, he is the best wrestler of all time, because not only did he make a huge impact, he then got out before his body got messed up and then turned himself into an actor, which was another thing where people look at now and they go, of course, everybody knows The Rock. He's amazing. But I'm old enough to remember when people go, we're like, oh, no way. That's stupid. There's no way he's going. The Scorpion King guy, whatever. Not going to happen. And to see him become the biggest star in Hollywood is amazing to me, and these production companies, all these things. And I was like, oh, the way that women stand Beyonce and just look at her as all the things she's accomplished and all the things that she's been through is how I look at The Rock. And I was like, The Rock is the Beyonce for boys. That's how that joke got made.
And it's true, because he very much is. He's somebody as well that transcends the industry, which we don't see as often anymore. And when it comes to the product now, as somebody like yourself, Ron, who's been around for a long, long time, like, where do you sit as a fan at the moment? Are you still as invested as you were all those years ago? Or do you feel like the product has changed a bit now, so you're not as invested? Where are you at with it?
Oh, I mean, the answer is both, because it's like, that's life. That's how things go. And as a kid, you are just more invested in things because it's magical and sillier and weird to you, you know? And as an adult, you see more of the holes in things. That's just life. So I don't look at it like, oh, they've changed and they suck. That's life. But to me, in a lot of ways, I'm more engaged than ever. There's more for me to enjoy, whether it is like a podcast from like, Mike McCarthy. Matt McCarthy and the We Watch Wrestling guys that I like, or just one of the Conrad Thompson podcasts where I can go, there's never, oh my God, if you had told me when I was a kid that I could watch wrestling Monday through Friday, I would have been like, what? I don't care what it is. I can watch wrestling Monday through Friday, and now it's like, okay, well, maybe I might skip Monday, and then I'll check out Tuesday and Wednesday, and that's fine too. You know, it gives me more balance. What I love is that there is something that I like, no matter what. There's so many positives, but there are also so many things where I'm like, oh, maybe that's just not the show for me. That one's not for me.
I think this is now the best time to be a wrestling fan, right? Because you have got wrestling Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Brand new stuff, fresh stuff all throughout the week from multiple promotions. Even if you don't like that, you've got access via a network, via the internet, to pretty much every wrestling match that's ever happened ever. So what a great time. Even if the new stuff doesn't set your world on fire, You've got everything at your fingertips. It's a great time to be a fan.
Really, it is. This has been the best time. You can find so many things. If whatever you want. You want to watch some deathmatch wrestling, it's a good time to be a fan. If you want to watch just entertainment wrestling, it's a good time to be a fan. I think I am subbing up to 4 wrestling-specific streaming services. I think I have what, New Japan World, Stardom, I have Peacock, I have Impact Plus, I have
nice.
Independent wrestling television, you know, so I can, oh, nothing's better than going to sleep to some old racist Impact from the early 2000s. It's the best.
It's the stuff of dreams, sir. Your show, nice one, I love, because it pushes the positive and it takes things that we've sort of shot out of a cannon as society, like man buns, etc., and it turns it into something good. And I want to try this with something wrestling based, if you will humor me, Ron, because you obviously, we've mentioned King of the Ring 2001, and that was on the verge of the invasion, which is a storyline that many wrestling fans take some umbrage with. And I think there is good to be had from the WCW invasion. Many don't think so. But what say you, superpower positivity, Ron? What say you to the good of the invasion?
You'll find positives for sure. Absolutely. Booker T came out of the invasion. That was an amazing thing to see. The story about Bagwell's mom calling in sick for him. We would have never known that if it wasn't for the invasion. That's something that makes me laugh to this day. I enjoy knowing that. Seeing Stephanie McMahon team up with Paul Heyman and wear fun little mini skirts at a time that I enjoyed that because I was single at the time. But and now...
Ron just looked off to the side there for approval of said comment.
And a lot of positives came out of it, a lot of changes. I mean, could it have been, should it have been better? Of course, but we got what we got and it was great. And now, I mean, you know, it's obviously no new thing, but like we're pretty much seeing a spiritual rebirth of WCW, but we got it now. So enjoy what we have.
Let's move on to your second wrestling match, sir. So we had Kurt Angle, Shane McMahon from King of the Ring 2001. What would you like your next one to be?
My next match will be... Let me think about it. I want to end on my favorite.
Okay.
So I gotta think about my second favorite. I'm on a desert island. I'm gonna take like some Piper Niven Tony Storm matches because I'm gonna need that on a desert island. If I'm alone by myself, I'm gonna need to see those type of things. But if I'm gonna pick a match that I wanna see for the rest of my life, I wanna say one of my favorite matches I ever saw live. I was at Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, so I'm assuming I can get a DVD of it. And it was I think it might have been the first PWG Donovan Dijakovic Keith Lee match. And it was one of my favorite matches. And I brought my friend Gabe, who is just a very surface level wrestling fan, and just to see his face and to see the way that match affected him. It's still, he says it's his favorite match he's ever seen.
So your friend there, you say he was sort of a surface level wrestling fan. Did he take a little bit of convincing to come to a PWG show, or was he pretty much sold on it?
Well, he's my friend and he will pretty much go anywhere as long as I pay for his food and ticket. So he was happy to be there, but he definitely, I mean, another story off of that night is that's the night that we both met and hung out and smoked with Matt Riddle, and he didn't know who Matt Riddle was. I did, of course, because I was a big wrestling fan. But we were like smoking with Matt and just chill dudes and hanging out. And my friends kind of like, who's that fucking bro dude? And I was like, oh, you'll see. And then he comes out to wrestle and he's like, that's the fucking guy we just smoked.
How was Riddle to have a little doobie with? Was he good fun?
Yeah, he's a nice guy. He's a fun, sweet guy. Anytime I've talked with him, and he's given me one of my best experiences as a fan. I went to one of his NXT events. I think it was a Brooklyn for WrestleMania weekend, and he had a match, and I was in the front row, and it's so fun. I have a lot of wrestling fans, a lot of friends, and I meet them usually on Independence. But sometimes, I don't want to say anything, but sometimes when they get called up, they don't remember me anymore. But when I went and saw, I had a good ticket for this thing, and Matt saw me, and he was saying, and he like lost the match, and then he sits up and he like looks for the camera for them, and then the camera goes away and he just goes, "Ron, what happened?" And I was like, that's such a nice guy. It's so fun.
That's amazing. So this is, so we're going back before all that happened. We're going back to the night at Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, Keith Lee versus Dominik Dijakovic. What is, out of all the matches on the card that night, why does this one stand out to you?
Because it was two guys that both seem, are definitely north of 250, 260 pounds, both over 6 feet tall, who basically worked a cruiserweight, prime WCW Nitro cruiserweight match. It was hard hitting. It was insane to see, like, just catch each other off of these dives. It was a true just feats of strength and athleticism that are like, make you feel like you're watching some type of action movie with wires and stuff, but you know there aren't. So you're like, this is insane. If I hadn't seen, I've seen their matches since on NXT, and they've had great matches on NXT, but to see them truly just go at it live and with no handcuffs was I felt very blessed to have been there.
It's amazing being part of something like that. And it's been a long time since fans have been at wrestling shows anyway. Is there plans later? I know that it's the earth is starting to heal a bit, Ron. Are there plans for sort of later in the year for you to go to more wrestling shows locally?
I'm actually trying to figure that out right now. Trying to set it up. I bought a ticket to go to Vegas for the GCW Draft Day show just because it's close to me. And the WrestleMania weekend made me really like itch to go to a show. And I was like, okay, if I can just go for a weekend and come back, also gets me out of the house for a weekend, that'll be nice. But then I also might have an opportunity that makes me go to work. So I'm like, will you guys let me know? Will they let me know? Because I kind of am okay with not doing it if I can go to my GCW show.
Is there anybody from GCW? Because the roster in GCW is stacked. They had an amazing week during WrestleMania. They put on a whole plethora of shows in the run-up to Mania. Is there anybody in GCW that you're really enjoying the work of at the moment?
Oh, so many people. Of course, I mean, I'll start at people I hope would know right away. Nick Gage, of course, is amazing. I think the work of Ricky Shane Page and his entire crew, the 440 crew, he's doing some of the best heel work that I've seen, independent, TV, wherever. He's doing some of the best heel work I've seen in a long, long time. So I'm a big fan of Ricky Shane Page. I'm a fan of Effie. I'm a fan of this guy who I just saw. Oh, Calvin Tankman, Lee Moriarty. I think those guys are the future of the industry. Trish Adora, and I mean, Everett Connors, who I've only seen like maybe once or twice, but he just came out in an outfit full of teddy bears. And I was like, I want to know more about this guy.
Last year, we didn't do much wrestling, but despite the fact that the world stopped, last year you got married last year, sir.
I did.
How was the whole lockdown wedding shenanigan then? How did that work out?
It was good. I recommend it. I think it's the way to go. It was simple. It wasn't a lot of pressure. We didn't have to worry about all in-laws fighting or where they were going to sleep or what they wanted to eat. We went down there, got married, came home, ate some cake, watched 90 Day Fiance. Had a beautiful evening. I was like, if the wedding is like the rest of the marriage, I'm cool with that. That's fine.
How did you pop the question?
Oh, I did. We always, we do silly stuff like 11-11 time. We'll send a little text to each other or go find each other and give each other a kiss. So on November 11th at 11:11 p.m., she was dead asleep. I woke her up. Because I always feel like it's good to, disorient the person if you want to ask them to marry you, and they might be too pretty for you to get. So I just made sure she was disoriented, didn't know what was going on, popped a question, and she said yes.
Well, during the pandemic, as well as getting married, you still kept busy.
I mean, just kind of adjusted. I think I followed some things that I didn't know were good habits that turned out to be very helpful. The fact that I was, you know, kind of diversifying the things I was doing a lot of voice acting, whether it be on like Harley Quinn or Trolls, and getting more into hosting, you know, which got me the Chop 420 show that's on Discovery Plus now that I really in love with. And so I just kind of like, kind of old advice my mom gave me, which is don't worry about what you can't do, just worry about what you can. And it's like, well, if I can't go to safely to go do these clubs, I'm not going to beat my head against the wall. I'm going to, you know, find another way. I'll focus more on acting class. I'll focus more on these auditions. And, you know, I'm just lucky in that regard that things worked out. But I'm happy to get back on the road, you know, this summer, you know, vaccinated back up. And, you know, encourage everyone that comes to my show to be fully vaccinated. And, you know, hopefully we'll get back on the good side of things.
You mentioned Chopped there, Chopped 420. How did this role come about? Because I know you'd been on Chopped before.
It's just a beautiful full circle where they were aware of me because I came on Chopped and I did not do well at all. I'm not a good cook by any means, but I am pretty charming and sweet. And they did know I love marijuana, and they were working on a spinoff. And in the meantime, I'd host the show Nice One on Quibi that you were aware of, and which not that many people were, so thank you. And also they were aware of, and so they had seen my hosting skills and were interested in marrying the two things together. And I, you know, and I'm well aware of the power of Chopped, and I just think it's a great fit, and I think the show is amazing. I've been watching. My wife even said, she's like, normally you like will watch a clip of yourself or something. You're watching this show.
It's a great premise for the show as well, because obviously it takes on from the Chopped theme of cooking a three course meal, but with that extra little Mary Jane addition. It's still a legitimate show. Who should we be watching out for in this series?
Oh, so many wonderful chefs that are in the series that are well trained Michelin star chefs. People who've worked their way up from nothing. A few people I truly enjoyed, Chef Victor, who in San Francisco, he has an Arepas restaurant in San Francisco. It's one of the top 10 restaurants in all of San Francisco. And this is just a man delivering arepas on his bike. And he came into the Chop competition and just told his story about being a son of an illegal immigrant whose dad got deported. And he was left here by himself to fend for himself, and how he pulled himself through and ends up in the kitchen. And there's just so many other stories, like Chef Emily, who was in Aspen, Colorado, you know, was always told not to cook with marijuana, was told to go away from her passions, and, you know, instead leaned into everything, and it is bringing her more recognition and more fame, and brought her to the Chop kitchen. And I think there's the fun of the marijuana, there's the fun of me hosting and cracking jokes all the time, which I love doing, but there's also the like stories of these chefs and the fact that they're really fighting for this like $10,000. And I think that combo really makes it like I'm a big fan of reality shows. My wife and I watch so many different things, and so we know a good reality show from a bad reality show, and this will go on.
What reality shows are you and your wife currently enjoying away from Chopped 420?
90 Day Fiance. We watch the whole franchise, whether it's The Single Life, whether it's The Other Way. We're all about that 90 Day Fiance.
Good shout. And on the subject of sort of cooking shows, because obviously you've got Chopped, Chopped 420, you've done Nailed It. Great British Bake Off.
Love it. You know I love it.
Yes. Would there be something you'd be up for doing? The Celebrity Bake Off is becoming a bit of a thing over in the States as well. And I have to ask whether it'd be something you'd love to do.
I mean, I would not do well. I'm up to pushing myself to see how far my skills could go. I know
my icing skills, my piping skills, and they are subpar at best. But I would do my best and fight just because I do. I mean, I live back in, if it was the Great British Baking Show in particular. I mean, I've been a big fan since it was Mary Berry out there hanging out. You know, I like Prue too, and I'm down with Prue too. But I've been there.
I've been thinking about it. And if you ended up doing Great British Bake Off, it opens the door for the inevitable spin-off, which is Great British Bake Off 420. And I'm just thinking about the sheer amount of handshakes Paul Hollywood would hand out if he was to chill a little bit more. Now, on the subject of Chop 420 and such, Matthew says hi.
Hi. Hello, Matthew. I'm glad he finally woke up.
there's an amazing picture of Matthew, which was taken, I think, about an hour after he left your company at the convention. And we talked about today, we do a podcast on a Saturday, which we recorded today. And he said, I said, you look like a waxwork. What did you do? What did you and Sean do to him, Ron? What did you and Sean do to him?
We didn't do much. We just gave him some gummies but what we did was give him gummies that were delicious. And I think he didn't know where to stop. So I think he should have stopped at one. And maybe he had two or three because they just taste like fun little candies, and which is fine for me. I could do four or five, but Matthew, no, he could not. And but he was perfect. He was great on the show. He had a blast. He might not remember any of it, but he did great.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to an experience like no other.
This is a 420 chopped extravaganza.
We got THC in here, baby.
Listen to that sizzle. I'm the Martha Stewart of cannabis.
It's like a whole new world just opened for us chefs.
Yeehaw, bud. I'm coming to roll my competition up and smoke them.
Some people think you can just throw some ditch weed in a brownie and call it cannabis cuisine.
But not here.
There's a level of sophistication. You know, it's far from stoner food, although you'd probably love it if you were high.
I kind of consider myself a cannamalier.
I'm going to infuse the cheese with CBD spice that's over there.
I think she's going to take whole flour and put it into that. Come on, put it in there, girl.
Boom.
We're embarking on a new journey of both taste and euphoria.
Sour diesel.
THC sriracha.
CBD honey, baby.
Maui wowie.
I just got hit with something beautiful.
Trust your nose. The nose knows.
Ah, it smells so good.
Also, there's mystery ingredients.
Oh.
Very judgmental people.
How do you not touch your secret stash?
And $10,000 on the line.
Emily, how you doing over there?
Well, I think I'm doing good, but I'm just winging it, man.
Do you have something in the fryer right now?
Ooh.
Oh. Oh.
The intensity's high, and so are we.
Who wants that cash money, honey?
Have you gotten anything on a plate yet?
Baby girl, don't worry about me. We lit.
420 remaining, chef.
What a good time.
This is Chopped 420.
You feel that moment, right? When they're just running and gunning, and they know, and there's sauce flying, and there's... I don't know what I was going to say.
Before we get to the last match, I like to spring this on people. As well as taking three wrestling matches, you're also allowed to take with you a movie, an album, and a luxury item.
Ooh.
So, luxury items, I'd like to explain this a bit more. So it's kind of, it can be a creature comfort from home. It can be a bit of tech you want to use on the island. It can be something with some sentimental value. Or
I'm glad you explained it, because obviously I was like, I'll take a jet ski out of it.
I mean, you could still take that if you wanted to.
But if we're going to go that route, I'll play your game and not break your game. I will go with, it'd definitely be like some type of emulator box or emulator, because I'm assuming I can't have like multiple, like a full PS5 TV thing set up. Although I guess if I have this DVD player and I'm watching things, then I do have a TV.
I can allow PS5 if you want to take your PS, because I know how much you like you playing your games and such. So I think a PS5 is fine.
I love gaming, and I can talk to my Twitch community. Tell twitch.tv, Ron_Funch, just come join the Funch Bunch. It's a fun time. We do my show, Get High, Watch Wrestling, on Monday. We're Get High, Watch Wrestling. Myself, Kevin Gill, sometimes a wrestling guest. We've had Matthew Justice. We've had Tony Devin. We've had Faye Jackson. From Enrique Bonney, who was fun. It was fun to talk to him. I just play games. I've been playing Portal 2 recently, but I bounce around, do a lot of different things. But it's been a lot of fun. I think, did you say food? Was there a food one?
There was a movie and an album.
Movie.
So we need a
movie
film off album. You, Ron.
Okay, so my movie, I think, would be, I think it was a fun movie. You've probably never heard of it. It's called Fear of a Black Hat. It's one of my favorite comedy movies of all time. It's directed and starred a gentleman named Rusty Cundiff, who went on to direct and do a lot of things. I think he directs Ally McBeal. He think Tales from the Crypt. Or something of that nature. But I know he went on and did directorial and writing role for the Chappelle Show. And it's like a Spinal Tap. This is Spinal Tap or a Mighty Wind type of mockumentary, but it's all about hip hop and rap. It's kind of like CB4, but it's funny. And so, suck it, Chris Rock. You'll never get anywhere.
Oh, God. Chris is going to be livid.
But it's a great, I think it's one of the funniest, it's like my go-to movie if I'm sick, if I'm tired, if I'm just bored, it's my go-to movie. So I would pick that one. And then for albums, I'm probably going to take Outkast's AT Aliens, because I just love that album.
Because while on the island, you'll be sharing it with 70-odd of the people that have already done this show, and you can explain to them why Outkast are better than the Beatles, because it's something that it's very much a hot topic. I think a lot of people unnecessarily came at you for that, Ron. I'm just going to say it. I think incredibly valid point from your end, sir.
Thank you very much. I just feel if you look at the science, if you look at technology, just how art gets better with time, it makes sense. They're better than the Beatles. I've broken it down before. They've done the Beatlemania great. Outkast went on the Source Award in New York and everybody booed them. And then now the entire rap industry is based out of Atlanta. So they kind of impacted things. You got Yoko Ono or you got Erykah Badu. I know which album I'm listening to. So
your third and final match Mr. Ron Funches, we have had Shane McMahon and Kurt Angle from King of the Ring 2001. We had a belter between Keith Lee and Dominik Dijakovic from Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. What would you like your last match to be, Ron?
My last match, probably my favorite match of all time. It is a match I kind of find myself watching about once a month. It is Halloween Havoc, Rey Mysterio Jr. and Eddie Guerrero. Is, I think, the most, there's technical, but there's a good story as well. There's the battle between the two of them as he's trying to rip Rey's mask apart, and it just seeing things I'd never seen in my life, seeing the hearing Bobby the Brain and Tony being popped so much by the match that's going on. It's a magical match, and it's a match that if I was on a desert island, it would be a match that I could watch every day and not get tired of.
Long run for Eddie. You can see this one coming. Rey Mysterio Jr. waiting for him. Face first, top toggle. Spin wheel kick on target. Rey hits hard. Back of the head as well. And Rey's going to go up top.
Well, here you go.
He's signaling for that patented springboard Hurricane Rana.
Can he connect? Waiting on Eddie to get up. Up and Eddie caught him. He caught him and turned it into a backbreaker. From the opening bell, both men pushing their abilities to the limit here. This is from the middle. Turn back up.
Again, this would be a teenager stoned in high school, and I was just like, what is this? What is this? What is it? More like, I just remember, I think I was watching it with my friend Mike, and it just was being like, what? And it was just that for like 20 minutes. It was insane. It was nothing on the card after it could follow that. It was a true indicator of where wrestling was headed. If you go to watch an NXT TakeOver match now, most of the matches you see are that style that Eddie and Rey and people like Dean Malenko and Jericho were doing then. He's obviously slowed down and changed his style a bit, but he's still, I mean, for as long as he's been doing it, the injuries he's had, he's good. I mean, I will wonder so many matches I'd want to see him in that I haven't seen, and now some of them I won't see. Like, I would love to see Rey Mysterio, and so I'd like to see Rey Mysterio, Rey Phoenix in a generation match. I want to see, I don't know if I've ever seen this ever, if they ever crossed paths in WCW, but I want to see Rey Mysterio 2-0 Scorpio match now. I think that would be amazing.
With this particular match from Halloween Havoc, one that you dip back into quite a bit, is there a moment in this match that no matter how many times you watch it, will always pop you?
Yeah, of course, is when Eddie's on the outside and Rey springboards off the top, which looks like he's going to do a senton. And I think that was the plan, I think. And then there was an error. And so they adjusted on the fly and it turned into this crazy forward flip and back into a Hurricane Rana, which I think, you know, you see that more now, but like at that time, I don't think I ever had seen that before. So to see him land flush on him and then turn it right away, like with no like stop, no like, okay, now we go back. It was just all one motion. It was all just like two guys who clearly know each other so well and love each other. And taking, he's like, I'm not going to drop you. I'm going to take care of you. And you know, it's that part of the match. And I think that's the part that pops the announcers too when they see that. I think that's the part that pops Bobby when you go back, and he's like freaking out when that happens.
It's been amazing today, Ron, to chat love of wrestling with yourself. Want to give you a moment just to tell everybody where they can find you, stuff that you're up to, do all the plugs that you want to do, sir.
Please, I'd love to. It's ronfunches.com for all my dates if you want to come find where I'm going to be live. Twitter, Instagram, just put in Ron Funches. You'll find me, I'm quite sure. Twitch, Ron _ Funches, if you want to hang out and play games or watch wrestling with me. I love that. My show is Chop 420 on the Discovery Plus app. It's the classic Chop format, but they've added the spice of weed and me. Those are good things. And I'm in the movie called Golden Arm that comes out next Friday, April 30th, or whenever this comes out. It comes out April 30th. And it's a wonderful comedy about female arm wrestling. And I play the owner and operator of the tournament. And it's real fun and silly time. So I hope people check that out.
What has been a weird 12 months? Thank you for constantly bringing the positive, Ron.
Thank you for saying that. Sometimes it's difficult.
What advice would Ron Funches give to those who are struggling to find the positive in everything that's going on right now?
The main advice is a simple thing, that if you are looking for the negative, you will find it. You constantly will find it. It is there. It's a constant. Being positive and being happy in your life isn't the absence of negatives. It's your response to them, and it's how you choose your life despite them. And to be able to sometimes just overlook them, just be like, well, that's it. That's me. That's part of my life. And I'm cool as hell either way.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.